Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, it's a couple of things I look forward to every week. One of them is my nightly cocktail. Another one is my morning cup of coffee. And another one is talking to my friend Steve Thompson every Saturday afternoon. Because, Steve, I tell you, I miss the days when we would, you know, pass each other in the hallway, or, you know, you would be coming in and I'm producing your show, or, you know, at once I became a host, you know, I'd be leaving and you'd be coming on. And you always drop nuggets, parenting advice, information, supported me. You know, I would always feel like I could talk to you, fix my equipment if something was broken. I miss like running into you, brother.
Yeah, times have changed a lot since COVID, with everyone kind of doing their own thing and home studios and able to work remotely. It really is crazy how it's changed. I remember those days. You weren't just producing, you were hosting a show and then slide over to the producer chair. Those were some long days.
Yeah, because they made me produce my own show. They was wrong for that. They were like, okay, if you want a show, you're going to have to produce. And I was like, that ain't nothing. I can do that. You ain't saying nothing. I can produce a show and respond to people on social media in real time and turn around and produce Steve's show. What? That ain't nothing. I don't think I could do that now at 52, because the way my body and stamina are set up, Steve, I'd be falling out. I'd be falling asleep. Steve, last night I went to sleep with the kids at 9:46.
Oh, yeah. I watch the news at 9, maybe 15, 20 minutes. I am more than happy to crawl into bed around 9:30 on weeknights, that's for sure.
Now, I got to get an update. How are Michelle and the girls?
Oh, good. Yeah, all is good. We love summer. You know, and you get to this part of the summer, and I don't know about you, and you're so busy and you're traveling and all sorts of things going on and busy with your kids, and I'm sure you feel this, that it feels like summer's all booked out, that it's kind of like the weekends are gobbled up, and it's kind of like between now and the start of school, everything's booked up. And I always kind of get a little bummed out toward the end of July, where it's like, I want more summer. I don't want this to end.
Yeah, and then, you know, you're right, because like right around this time, we start thinking, it starts when you start seeing them sell their school supplies. You know, you start seeing the school supplies. You're like, wait a minute, hold on. It is not August yet. Why are y'all selling school supplies? So it probably starts right around then. Mm-hmm.
Well, and when I was school age, they didn't put the school supplies out too early. Now these retailers are in a fight. I think, who can get their school supplies out? School's barely out for the summer, and they've got the stuff up. They've got the notebooks and the pens and all of this sort of stuff. I was always, as a kid, very upset when we'd go to mom and the notes, and they were wheeling out the notebooks and the crayons, and I was like, oh, no. Yeah.
But yes, it's that time, baby.
And as soon as school starts, I guarantee you'll see the Halloween stuff.
Oh, yeah. As soon as that last backpack is sold.
The stuff will be out right day after Labor Day.
if look, Steve, if not before.
You're right. I know that's exactly.
Okay, now you got to tell me, why you not in Cooperstown? I thought you were going to be gone. I thought you was going to go see Joe Mauer.
Well, there's this thing called work and the other jobs. And the funny thing is, where I work during the week in the printing business, there was a guy who had already traveled, and we worked together real closely. And he's their shipping and receiving manager, and I work with him because I'm kind of on the purchasing side. So we work very closely together. And when he's out, I kind of back him up and keep an eye on things.
Mm-hmm.
So he already had a trip planned because his daughter is now in high school, and she's quite an athlete. She's playing a sport this summer, and she had this tournament out east. So he had the road trip out there. So it really wasn't in the cards. And I've never been to Cooperstown, but I have heard
really,
a really cool trip. I someday I'm going to get there. And I know there's a lot of Twins fans because Joe Mauer gets inducted into the Hall of Fame tomorrow. And we'll have more on that later on, later in the day on the show, on Joe getting his call to the Hall. But it is really cool. You think about these four guys from St. Paul, of course, Dave Winfield, mm-hmm. great all-around athlete, just one of the all-time greats, Paul Molitor, Jack Morris, and now Joe Mauer. You know, from St. Paul, four guys are in the Hall of Fame. That's crazy that St. Paul, Minnesota will have four members of the Baseball Hall of Fame. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and, you know, I was telling somebody the other day, they should check the population of Minnesota because I know it's down. There's so many people who went to see this, you know, because they're so invested. People who know him, people who don't know him but have followed and supported his career. I mean, this is just amazing to see a hometown hero stay at, you know, with his local team. You know, Steve, that doesn't happen often, does it?
No, it certainly doesn't. Not in this era of pro sports. Once upon a time, before the late, great Curt Flood and Challenger Reserve Clause, when you were signed with a major league team, you were there. You know, they had your rights. There was no such thing as free agency back in the day. But the great Curt Flood challenged all of that, and now we have an era where players can, you know, do whatever they want. Play for who they want, you know, go out and get the most money they can. But I think Joe Mauer is unique because, you know, Creighton Durham Hall, tight-knit community there in St. Paul. He played football, basketball, and baseball all at a very high level. He could have played quarterback at Florida State. He had a scholarship offer on the table from Bobby Bowden to play quarterback at Florida State. He was that good. He could have played D1 basketball had he wanted to, but he went the baseball route, gets drafted by the Twins, and spends his entire career. It is very unusual for a player to follow that path. But I remember, you know, talking to his mom and his late father, because we used to be involved in a charity event here at CECO through the Mauer dealerships. And they would put on a little league tournament. So I got to know his mom and dad, and we talked. And they talked about U Sports, and they talked about the approach. And it's like, no, they weren't going to go on all these traveling teams and go all over here and there. They were going to stay in the neighborhood and play with their friends. And I think that there's a lot to be said about that. If you can play and if you're good enough to make it to the pros, the scouts are going to find you. You might as well stay home and play with your friends. And I thought that was very, very interesting that all those boys, and it's a family of great athletes, and Joe's mom was a terrific athlete in her own right, that they just stayed home in St. Paul, and they played sports with their friends, and now Joe's going to the Hall of Fame. It's a pretty good story.
And, you know, Steve, a lot of times, you know, as parents, you know, we just can't keep up. You know, because they got you running every which way, running all around town. And, you know, even for me, my children are not very athletic, but I just wanted to, you know, do that team building. And, you know, I thought about a basketball league, and You know, one of the things they said, well, we play on Saturday, Sunday mornings. And I was like, but we go to church. And they're like, oh, you just can't go to church. You're not going to be able to do it if you join this league because we play on Sundays. And that was, you know, a deal breaker for us. And I was, you know, sad for my son. But, you know, a lot of times we make so many sacrifices to be on these leagues and playing these teams. But, you know, his story is so good and such a good reminder that you can stay right there. You don't got to stress out. You don't got to be running all over the state and the tri-state area. You will bloom where you were planted.
Yeah, I think it's so true. And I think youth sports has become big business. But I think Joe's story and the story of the great Dave Winfield as well is playing multiple sports. You know, Dave was a phenomenal multi-sport athlete. And he could have had a career in basketball. You know, he could have done a lot of things athletically. Dave Winfield is the same thing. And it just goes to show that right now youth sports is a big business, and they try and push these kids at a young age. You've got to specialize as a volleyball player or a basketball player, and you got to play year-round, or you got to play soccer year-round, or you got to do football workouts year-round. But I think the lesson in Dave Winfield or Joe Maurer, for example, is you can play multiple sports and still get to where you want to be as an athlete. The specialization will come down the road. Play them all. Try different things. And it doesn't have to be sports. It could be music. It could be speech. It could be any sort of artistic endeavor. I think the more well-rounded kids are, the better.
Yeah, that is the truth. Steve Thompson is joining us. He's going to stick around for one more segment because I got a little surprise I want to tell you about. Okay, so y'all don't tell Steve that I'm in USA Today. I'm going to tell him about it when we come back. It is 2:53. You are listening to News Talk 830 WCCO Radio, your good neighbor station. Talking to my friend Steve Thompson, whose show is coming up next. Steve, what do you got in store for everybody?
We've got Doug Tech Talk. Maybe you heard about the big crowd strike problem.
Oh, my God.
Friday.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. What a
Steve, are you not I bet you were glad you weren't flying or going anywhere. Flights, banks, jobs. I mean, it was everywhere, all over the place.
Yeah, I'm glad I don't have the money to fly. I was just at work, but when all of this went down, this just wasn't in the United States. This was global, and some companies, some industries impacted more than others. And we are going to get into that in detail next hour on the show. We'll go outdoors with Steve Carney. We'll preview the 3M Open coming to town next week. Big event, PGA Tour. Some of the top players in the world will be here. And they raise a lot of money for charity out at the TPC of the Twin Cities. And then much more on Joe Maurer going into the Hall of Fame. And then Twins and Brewers pregame lineup card at 5:30 today. So, busy day.
Oh, my gosh. You got a lot going on. Well, I know that, you know, as you were lining up your show looking for guests and you were going all over to all the different publications online, I'm not sure if you stopped at USA Today and you saw my face. I didn't want you to be surprised because I am on USA Today. There is an article, a long column about the door lock giveaways that I've been doing in different cities. They called me this week and asked if they could do a story on me because I'm preparing to get ready to go to Boston to give away more locks after we gave some away in Hopkins and Houston when those kids with autism wandered away from their house and drowned.
That is phenomenal. I haven't seen the USA Today article, but I've heard about this latest endeavor, and it is phenomenal what you're doing in the sad stories of these kids getting out of the house and drowning. I heard you talk about it earlier in the show today. It's just a tragedy, and the fact that you're getting locks to people that can use these is just tremendous work.
Well, you know, Steve, you know, you and I talked a lot back before COVID, and you know, one of the concerns and fears that I had was that my son Daniel would just wander out of the house. Like, we couldn't sleep at night. I couldn't go to the restroom. I couldn't turn my back and wash dishes. You know, any opportunity he had to get out of the house, he would take. And the older and smarter he got, the more sophisticated he got, and he could figure these things out. But these combination locks that we found a couple of years ago were the only thing that kept him safe. And when I was out there in Hopkins, after that little boy wandered away and drowned, and I hugged that family and I was talking to the police, you know, God just put it on my heart and gave me the idea to do a lock giveaway. And then did one in Houston, and now, you know, the police department in Boston emailed me this morning and they want me to come there. And of course I'm going to go, because Steve, the more parents that we can tell about these locks, the more lives we can save.
Yeah, and it is readily available technology. And the thing is, there's some folks that just can't afford it. They're just trying to put food on the table, pay the rent, et cetera. But making this available is such a great cause.
Yeah, and for those who can't afford, a lot of times they didn't even know these locks existed. So I don't know where Jeff Bezos is, but he really needs to give me that Courage and Civility Award. I know he gave it to Eva Longoria this year. I don't know what she did, but I'm just telling you that I ought to be a contender for next year when he's giving out that Courage and Civility Award.
Mm-hmm. Well, and Shaletta, I think some people just need, you know, that push. I think people are indeed very generous. And if you, and you've already proven this, if you show a need, people will step up and donate funds.
Yes, they will. And this has been a blessing. So I'll let you know when I'm heading to Boston. But I wanted to let you know I love you and I thank you for your support. And okay, it's a couple of things I look forward to every week. One of them is my nightly cocktail. Another one is my morning cup of coffee. And another one is talking to my friend Steve Thompson every Saturday afternoon. Because, Steve, I tell you, I miss the days when we would, you know, pass each other in the hallway, or, you know, you would be coming in and I'm producing your show, or, you know, at once I became a host, you know, I'd be leaving and you'd be coming on. And you always drop nuggets, parenting advice, information, supported me. You know, I would always feel like I could talk to you, fix my equipment if something was broken. I miss like running into you, brother.
Yeah, times have changed a lot since COVID, with everyone kind of doing their own thing and home studios and able to work remotely. It really is crazy how it's changed. I remember those days. You weren't just producing, you were hosting a show and then slide over to the producer chair. Those were some long days.
Yeah, because they made me produce my own show. They was wrong for that. They were like, okay, if you want a show, you're going to have to produce. And I was like, that ain't nothing. I can do that. You ain't saying nothing. I can produce a show and respond to people on social media in real time and turn around and produce Steve's show. What? That ain't nothing. I don't think I could do that now at 52, because the way my body and stamina are set up, Steve, I'd be falling out. I'd be falling asleep. Steve, last night I went to sleep with the kids at 9:46.
Oh, yeah. I watch the news at 9, maybe 15, 20 minutes. I am more than happy to crawl into bed around 9:30 on weeknights, that's for sure.
Now, I got to get an update. How are Michelle and the girls?
Oh, good. Yeah, all is good. We love summer. You know, and you get to this part of the summer, and I don't know about you, and you're so busy and you're traveling and all sorts of things going on and busy with your kids. And I'm sure you feel this, that it feels like summer's all booked out, that it's kind of like the weekends are gobbled up, and it's kind of like between now and the start of school, everything's booked up. And I always kind of get a little bummed out toward the end of July, where it's like, I want more summer. I don't want this to end.
Yeah, and then, you know, you're right, because like right around this time, we start thinking, it starts when you start seeing them sell their school supplies. You know, you start seeing the school supplies. You're like, wait a minute, hold on. It is not August yet. Why are y'all selling school supplies? So it probably starts right around then. Mm-hmm.
Well, and when I was school age, they didn't put the school supplies out too early. Now these retailers are in a fight. I think, who can get their school supplies out? School's barely out for the summer, and they've got the stuff up. They've got the notebooks and the pens and all of this sort of stuff. I was always, as a kid, very upset when we'd go to Mom and the note, and they were wheeling out the notebooks and the crayons, and I was like, oh, no. Yeah.
But yes, it's that time, baby.
And as soon as school starts, I guarantee you'll see the Halloween stuff.
Oh, yeah. As soon as that last backpack is sold.
The stuff will be out right day after Labor Day.
if not before.
You're right. I know that's exactly.
Okay, now you got to tell me, why you not in Cooperstown? I thought you were going to be gone. I thought you was going to go see Joe Mauer.
Well, there's this thing called work and the other jobs. And the funny thing is, where I worked during the week in the printing business, there was a guy who had already traveled, and we worked together real closely. And he's their shipping and receiving manager, and I work with him because I'm kind of on the purchasing side. So we work very closely together. And when he's out, I kind of back him up and keep an eye on things.
Mm-hmm.
So he already had a trip planned because his daughter is now in high school, and she's quite an athlete. She's playing a sport this summer, and she had this tournament out east, so he had to road trip out there. So it really wasn't in the cards. And I've never been to Cooperstown, but I have heard
really,
really cool trip. I someday I'm going to get there. And I know there's a lot of Twins fans because Joe Mauer gets inducted into the Hall of Fame tomorrow. And we'll have more on that later in the day on the show on Joe getting his call to the Hall. But it is really cool. You think about these four guys from St. Paul. Of course, Dave Winfield, mm-hmm. great all-around athlete, just one of the all-time greats. Paul Molitor, Jack Morris, and now Joe Mauer. You know, from St. Paul, four guys are in the Hall of Fame. That's crazy that St. Paul, Minnesota will have four members of the Baseball Hall of Fame. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. And, you know, I was telling somebody the other day, they should check the population of Minnesota because I know it's down. There's so many people who went to see this, you know, because they're so invested. People who know him, people who don't know him, but have followed and supported his career. I mean, this is just amazing to see a hometown hero stay at, you know, with his local team. You know, Steve, that doesn't happen often, does it?
No, it certainly doesn't. Not in this era of pro sports. Once upon a time, before the late, great Curt Flood and Challenger Reserve Clause, when you were signed with a major league team, you were there. You know, they had your rights. There was no such thing as free agency back in the day. But the great Curt Flood challenged all of that. And now we have an era where players can, you know, go where they want. Play for who they want, you know, go out and get the most money they can. But I think Joe Mauer is unique because, you know, Creighton Durham Hall, tight-knit community there in St. Paul. He played football, basketball, and baseball all at a very high level. He could have played quarterback at Florida State. He had a scholarship offer on the table from Bobby Bowden to play quarterback at Florida State. He was that good. He could have played D1 basketball had he wanted to, but he went the baseball route, gets drafted by the Twins, and spends his entire career. It is very unusual for a player to follow that path. But I remember, you know, talking to his mom and his late father, because we used to be involved in a charity event here at CECO through the Mauer dealerships. And they would put on a little tournament. So I got to know his mom and dad, and we talked. And they talked about U Sports, and they talked about the approach. And it's like, no, they weren't going to go on all these traveling teams and go all over here and there. They were going to stay in the neighborhood and play with their friends. And I think that there's a lot to be said about that. If you can play and if you're good enough to make it to the pros, the scouts are going to find you. You might as well stay home and play with your friends. And I thought that was very, very interesting that all those boys, and it's a family of great athletes, and Joe's mom was a terrific athlete in her own right, that they just stayed home in St. Paul, and they played sports with their friends, and now Joe's going to the Hall of Fame. It's a pretty good story.
And, you know, Steve, a lot of times, you know, as parents, you know, we just can't keep up. You know, because they got you running every which way, running all around town. And, you know, even for me, my children are not very athletic, but I just wanted to, you know, do that team building. And, you know, I thought about a basketball league. And, you know, one of the things they said, well, we play on Saturday, Sunday mornings. And I was like, but we go to church. And they were like, oh, you just can't go to church. You're not going to be able to do it if you join this league because we play on Sundays. And that was, you know, a deal breaker for us. And I was, you know, sad for my son, but, you know, a lot of times we make so many sacrifices to be on these leagues and playing these teams. But, you know, his story is so good and such a good reminder that you can stay right there. You don't got to stress out. You don't got to be running all over the state and the tri-state area. You will bloom where you are planted.
Yeah, I think it's so true. And I think youth sports has become big business, but I think Joe's story and the story of the great Dave Winfield as well is playing multiple sports. You know, Dave was a phenomenal multi-sport athlete, and he could have had a career in basketball. You know, he could have done a lot of things athletically. Dave Winfield is the same thing. And it just goes to show that right now youth sports is a big business, and they try and push these kids at a young age. You've got to specialize as a volleyball player or a basketball player, and you've got to play year-round, or you've got to play soccer year-round, or you've got to do football workouts year-round. But I think the lesson in Dave Winfield or Joe Maurer, for example, is you can play multiple sports and still get to where you want to be as an athlete. The specialization will come down the road. Play them all. Try different things. And it doesn't have to be sports. It could be music. It could be speech. It could be any sort of artistic endeavor. I think the more well-rounded kids are, the better.
Yeah, that is the truth. Steve Thompson is joining us. He's going to stick around for one more segment because I got a little surprise I want to tell you about. Okay, so y'all don't tell Steve that I'm in USA Today. I'ma tell him about it when we come back. It is 2:53. You are listening to News Talk 830 WCCO Radio, your good neighbor station. Talking to my friend Steve Thompson, whose show is coming up next. Steve, what do you got in store for everybody?
We've got Doug Tech Talk. Maybe you heard about the big crowd strike problem.
Oh my God.
Friday.
Oh my God.
Yeah. What a
Steve, are you not I bet you were glad you weren't flying or going anywhere. Flights, banks, jobs. I mean, it was everywhere, all over the place.
Yeah, I'm glad I don't have the money to fly. I was just at work, but when all of this went down, this just wasn't in the United States. This was global, and some companies, some industries impacted more than others. And we are going to get into that in detail next hour on the show. We'll go outdoors with Steve Carney. We'll preview the 3M Open coming to town next week. Big event, PGA Tour. Some of the top players in the world will be here. And they raise a lot of money for charity out at the TPC of the Twin Cities. And then much more on Joe Maurer going into the Hall of Fame. And then Twins and Brewers pregame lineup card at 5:30 today. So busy day.
Oh my gosh, you got a lot going on. Well, I know that, you know, as you were lining up your show, looking for guests, and you were going all over to all the different publications online, I'm not sure if you stopped at USA Today and you saw my face. I didn't want you to be surprised because I am on USA Today. There is an article, a long column about the door lock giveaways that I've been doing in different cities. They called me this week and asked if they could do a story on me because I'm preparing to get ready to go to Boston to give away more locks after we gave some away in Hopkins and Houston when those kids with autism wandered away from their house and drowned.
That is phenomenal. I haven't seen the USA Today article, but I've heard about this latest endeavor, and it is phenomenal what you're doing in the sad stories of these kids getting out of the house and drowning. I heard you talk about it earlier in the show today. It's just a tragedy, and the fact that you're getting locks to people that can use these is just tremendous work.
Well, you know, Steve, you know, you and I talked a lot back before COVID, and you know, one of the concerns and fears that I had was that my son Daniel would just wander out of the house. Like, we couldn't sleep right at night. I couldn't go to the restroom. I couldn't turn my back and wash dishes. You know, any opportunity he had to get out of the house, he would take. And the older and smarter he got, the more sophisticated he got, and he could figure these things out. But these combination locks that we found a couple of years ago were the only thing that kept him safe. And when I was out there in Hopkins after that little boy wandered away and drowned, and I hugged that family and I was talking to the police, you know, God just put it on my heart and gave me the idea to do a lock giveaway. And then did one in Houston, and now, you know, the police department in Boston emailed me this morning, and they want me to come there. And, of course, I'm going to go because, Steve, the more parents that we can tell about these locks, the more lives we can save.
Yeah, and it is readily available technology. And the thing is, there's some folks that just can't afford it. They're just trying to put food on the table, pay the rent, et cetera. But making this available is such a great cause.
Yeah, and for those who can't afford, a lot of times they didn't even know these locks existed. So I don't know where Jeff Bezos is, but he really needs to give me that Courage and Civility Award. I know he gave it to Eva Longoria this year. I don't know what she did, but I'm just telling you that I ought to be a contender for next year when he's giving out that Courage and Civility Award.
Mm-hmm. Well, and Shaletta, I think some people just need, you know, that push. I think people are indeed very generous. And if you, and you've already proven this, if you show a need, people will step up and donate funds.
Yes, they will. And this has been a blessing. So I'll let you know when I'm heading to Boston, but I wanted to let you know I love you and I thank you for your support. And-